So he Perfect. So this afternoon session, this one in particular, is on Blackboard Learn Original Grade Center. So we're going to go over the grade center, your weighted total columns, how you can modify and edit things. If anyone has any questions, just please feel free to interrupt at any point. You can put it in the chat if you're not a talker, or you can just unmute yourself and ask whatever questions you want. If there's specific things happening in your course that you'd like addressed, I suspect we will have tons of time at the end of this to go over those things as well. So I'm just going to get started by sharing my screen. Trish and Jana are here. Sorry for those of you that maybe don't know me. I don't know. I'm Angela. Trish is also works in IT with me, and then Jana works in the lead department. So any one of us can give you a hand. Can everybody see my screen? Yeah, perfect. So in Blackboard Learn Original, as long as this is what your course looks like, then you are in the correct session. Right after this at 1:30, we're going to be doing Blackboard Learn Ultra gradebook. So your grade center is located here underneath the course management menu. Typically, I spend 99% of my time in the full grade center. I will show you the needs grading area afterwards, but we're going to head to the full grade center to start. So in this area, you'll see a couple of columns that are in gray. And that's because those columns are standard and static. You can't delete them. You can't move them around. You can't do anything with them. They stay there. And that's your students' first and last names. Then as you're scrolling over, probably in your grade center, you also have a column for student number potentially and last access, but I deleted those from mine. But you should probably have that in yours as well. And then there's a scroll bar at the bottom of, or sorry, username, student ID. There's a scroll bar at the bottom of your grade center that you can scroll back and forth. This grade center is showing you, first of all, a list of all the students in your class on the left-hand side. And then it's also showing you a column for every assessment that you have created within Blackboard. So whether that's an assignment or a test or a survey or a graded discussion board, as soon as you create some type of gradable assessment, it automatically creates a corresponding column in your grade center. That's not to say that you can't create these columns manually, and we'll see how to do that today as well. So as you're scrolling over in this area, you'll see that with your list of students, anywhere where there's just like two dashes, that just means that that student hasn't even started that attempt. Okay, so that nothing has been done with it. This gray area with the lines through it, should you see any of that, it likely just means that for that student, you went in and you gave them an exemption from that assessment. So if that's happened by accident, you just have to reach out. I can show you how to fix it. But it is an option to go in and say that this student isn't participating in this activity, and then it won't use that activity to calculate the final grade. When your students submit any type of assessment, whether that's a test or an assignment, it comes into your grade center. This is where you're going to go to find those results. And this yellow circle with the white exclamation mark means that the assessment has been submitted and it's sitting there waiting for you to grade. If it was a test with all automatically calculated types of questions like true and false multiple choice, then instead of showing this yellow circle, it would show a grade in this area. So whether it's a percent grade or a score grade, it depends on how you formatted your column. That's what would show up, and then you could still go look at it. This blue circle that's beside this student means that this is a test, and the student has started the test, but they haven't yet completed it, so it's in progress. So if I wanted to go and have a look at this assessment that this student submitted, all I do is go beside it and click the down arrow, and you'll see you have three options here. The view grade details option shows me things like what time was this assessment submitted, when was it created, what's happening with it, is there a value, or in this case, it's sitting there waiting to be graded. From here, I can click on view the attempt. I can also clear the student's attempt from here. So if they submitted something to you, a test or an assignment, and then they called and said, "Holy crap, I gave you the wrong thing. Can I have another chance?" If you want to just get rid of it completely, you would just come here and clear the attempt. You can also ignore the attempt, but we don't think we've ever come across a situation where we've used that at the college. So I would suggest that clearing the attempt would be the option that you would use. And then if you've already entered a grade, you could edit it here, but you can also edit it from the main screen. So I'm just going to go back and show you from here. If I click the down arrow, I can click on attempt. This is also where I can choose the exempt grade if I want to have that taken right out of the weighted total. So on my attempt, what it's going to do for an assignment, it actually loads a preview of the student's submission. So you can mark this assignment right here in this window. This black bar up here are all of the tools that you have to mark the student's assignment. You can put sticky notes, you can add text, you can put little captions. You can also download this assignment. And this is important to know because sometimes these previews, because it's like a print preview, they can become a little bit skewed. So if you're looking for APA formatting and you think, my goodness, what is this student doing? It's all over the place. I encourage you to download the document first to make sure it's not the preview that's making things look not quite right. So that's this button here. You can print it from here. And then when you're done and you've scrolled through this student's assessment and you've decided what they are going to get, over here on the right in the pink area is where you would go to enter that student's grade. So if I put 18 in here, you can actually type just generalized feedback in this area on the right. So not specific, not in a specific area on the document, but whatever you wanted to say over here on the right. You can also click this plus button to insert a local file if you've created like a feedback on a Word document. Maybe you had a handwritten rubric and you were filling it out and you wanted to submit that, you could do that as well. And then when you're done, you just hit submit and it will now update in the Grade Center to an 18, which is what I got, 18 out of 20, and indicate that you've now marked it. So in Grade Center, if you want to see, you have two choices between looking at a score and a percentage. So if I, this is a score, obviously, but if I wanted this column to show me percentages and not scores, I just click the down arrow beside the title. And then I can go to edit column information right in the middle. And I change my primary display to a percentage. We don't use text-based or letter-based grades here, so I wouldn't use that one. There's also the option to have a primary display and then also a secondary display. So if I wanted that secondary display to be a score, I could do that. When I'm done and I hit submit, it now shows me that I got 90% or that this student got 90% on this assignment and they got an 18 out of 20. This is also the same information that shows to your student. So if you're showing it to yourself in this format, then that's what they see as well. They would see the 18 out of 20 and the 90%. In this situation for a student's test, if it's in this blue circle window, I'm just going to mention it and we're going to move on, but just know that if it happens, call me. If a student has done a test for you and they've submitted it and you look in your Grade Center and you see this blue circle and they're like, well, I submitted it, I don't understand. Sometimes there's a little bit of a lag. No problem. It might have to take a couple of minutes to submit. But if it's not, and we've had this happen where it sort of got caught, the student's network perhaps didn't function properly when they hit submit, you can go into view grade details for this student and you can submit this. Oh, it says test, but it wasn't a test. That's not really very helpful. I could submit this. Hang on. What to attempt? There we go. This is a test. So in the if I view the attempt and I click on test information, I can choose to submit this attempt on the student's behalf. I can also see, and again, this is only for original. This does not work for ultra, but I can go in while they're in the test and I can see how they're making out and what question they're on and what they've already answered. So that's a really nice way to sort of just manage your class as things are happening. But don't get too excited about that because that doesn't transfer over to Ultra and we don't get to keep that, sadly. Okay, so also in this area, you can decide from the Grade Center whether or not your students get to view these results. And how you do it in Original is you just come into your Grade Center, you click the down arrow on the column. So if I don't want anyone to see this column until I'm finished marking every assessment, I just choose the down arrow and I go down and I choose hide from students on off. As a word of caution, the very bottom one here says hide from instructor view. I can't tell you how many student or how many faculty have selected that, just thinking, oh, hide, I want that. And then it's gone from their view. So just make sure that you're choosing the right one, hide from students. Once it's hidden, it'll show with this black circle with the red line through it. And that indicates that you can see it in your grade center, but when the students go here to their My Grades area, this column won't show up for them and they wouldn't be able to see these results until you actually decide to go and re-show this column to them.
So, Angela, I actually have a
Yeah,
question.
sure.
So, I still have to clean up my grade center for my two classes because it's showing old tests that I have to redo. Now, do I need to hide everything so they don't see anything, or do they only see graded columns?
Okay, super good question. So, a couple of things that you have to do, but you have to make sure you do it in the right order. If your course has a bunch of old content in it from a copy that you don't want, two choices. Assessments that you aren't going to use, if you want to completely delete them from your course, which you're allowed to do, you can't delete them from the grade center. So you'll notice if I click the down arrow beside my test column, you see how I don't have a delete option? And that's because that column is actually attached to an assessment that lives in my course for my students. So if there's still that connection because it's in your course, it isn't going to let you delete this column. So your option is to go into the course itself, somewhere in course content or assignments or tests or wherever this lives, and delete that assessment from in that area. The minute you delete it from in there, it will delete it from this area. If you're not comfortable with the whole deleting thing and you just think, oh my goodness, I just want to hide it. If you click the down arrow and you hide it from yourself, which will effectively let me do that, so it takes it out of this view, so now it's gone. Just know that it's gone for you, but it's not gone for your students. Your students still see it. You would have had to go and hide the column from your student first, so clicking the down arrow and choosing hide from students on off. And then once it's hidden from the students, click the down arrow and hide from instructor view. Now they won't see it and you won't see it. Okay?
Okay, so right now they can see everything that's in there.
They sure can. And when they go into their My
Okay.
Grades area, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to clean that up. Okay.
Okay? Another way to easily manage your grade center. So yes, you can go here and you can click and you can hide and do stuff like that. But another way you can do it that's a little bit quicker is going up here to manage. And when you go to manage, if you choose column organization, that's going to open up all of these columns that you have in Grade Center in this sort of like a list view and allow you to hide columns, show columns, and move them around in differing order. So I can quickly see here's the test column that I just hid from myself. And my students are saying, hey, but I still see this column in my Grade Center. I don't know what it's for. And you think, oh shit, you're not supposed to see that. You'd have to go here, click on it. Then I'd have to go down here and say show selected column. And then that column would come back up in my grade center. Then I can go and hide it from the students first and then hide it from my view. Also, under this manage area, you'll notice these top two columns, they're frozen. So you can't move those ones around, but you have the ability to move all of these other columns. So if you want to get organized and you want to, either do it alphabetically or in terms of when which assessment was first and second, et cetera, then you just grab these four-headed arrows and you move things around. If you want to, you can delete columns from here. So if it's allowed, so for example, this total column, 100% completely useless on Backboard Original. I don't know why your courses come with the total column. But they do. So if you want to get rid of that because it's not actually attached to an assessment, you could put a check mark here and then hit delete. And it's going to say, are you sure you really want to do this? Yes, I'm really sure. And it'll get rid of that column. Okay. Then when you're all done, you would just hit submit. And any of those changes that you just made have now transferred over to your Grade Center. Same thing in Original. If you've got a class listing, and you ha find that you have a student that has it's sort of grayed out and they have like a circle with a line through it. I'm sorry, I don't know what that's called, like an exclusion circle. If you have those students hanging out in your grade center and they're no longer part of your course and they're kind of just mucking things up, if again, if you go under manage, you can go to row visibility And you can choose to hide any of those rows. So if you want to get rid of those students that have been withdrawn from your course but are still sort of living there because we don't delete them, you would just select them and choose hide rows. And then when you go back in, that student no longer shows up in your grade center. Let me just go back and unhide poor test student. Also from this area, you can download the Grade Center. Okay, so if you're, let's say you want to take some work home on the weekend and you're heading out to the cottage and you don't have cell service and you're just going to mark some things manually, you can download this Grade Center by clicking on this Work Offline button up on the top right-hand corner and choose Download. My suggestion to you would be, so you can download the full Grade Center, you can just download selected columns. If you're downloading only selected columns, it will also still download your student information for you. So you never have to select that. But if you just want user information only, you can choose that. And then down here under these other options, my suggestion would be to just leave them as the default and hit submit. All that does now is provide you with this window that has the download button. And when I click it, it just downloads an Excel file into my downloads folder so that I can go and look at my Grade Center through Excel. Terry, you might choose to do that if he's still with us because he does his grades manually, even though I please don't anyone else do that, but that's how Terry's doing it. So in here we can also create a column manually. So I talked about how if you create an assessment in Blackboard, it automatically puts a corresponding column in your grade center. But let's say you want to mark the student on something that's not an assessment in Blackboard. So you want to give them a grade for class participation or lab work or something like that. You just come in here and you click on Create Column and you manually create this column. So if this is for participation, there's my name. I don't have to do a grade center name. I don't have to do a description unless you really want to. I choose my primary display. So if I want to enter their mark in as a percentage, I choose percentage. Keep in mind, however you have this listed, percent or score, that's how you have to enter it in if you're entering those grades manually. So if it's a percentage and it's out of 50, you can't go in and put 45 in there because that's going to give the student 45%. You'd have to put like 90% or 80% or whatever you're giving them. Then, because it's a column that we're creating in Grade Center, it wants to know what it's out of. So, if it's something like participation, honestly, most of the time it's just easiest to put it out of 100. But if, let's say, they got 2 points for every class that they showed up and participated, you kept track of that, then you'd put it out of whatever makes sense for you. You don't have to put a date on here or a due date because it's just a manually created column. And then your bottom options say include this column in Grade Center score calculations. So by default, that's always on. And what that means is this column that we're creating right now, it will filter through to your weighted total column to calculate your student's final grade or allow you to choose from it to calculate their final grade. And we're going to have a look at that weighted total column in a second. The next option is to show the column to students. So if you don't want them to see this right away, you can change it here. But I also showed you how to change it right within the Grade Center. And then the last one is to show statistics. This is always set to no, and I would just encourage you to leave it alone. Okay, we don't really do the average and the median and stuff, but and this is not an option in Ultra either. When you're done, you would just click submit. By default, this newly created column always goes to the very end of your Grade Center. So don't think it's not there and create another one. Just scroll all the way over and you'll see it. To manually enter your students' grades, you're just clicking on these dashes and typing in whatever they got. So Trish wasn't a very good student. She got 50% for participation. Poor Trish. This works the same if it's a column that was automatically created with an assessment. If you wanted to override a student's grade, so for example, in this one, the student got 5. If I wanted to override that because it's out of a possible 11, I could just change the grade. The minute I override a grade, you'll notice it puts this little orange triangle in the corner. That's simply indicating to you that this was a manually overridden grade. You can still click the down arrow. I can still view the attempt to see what the student actually got, but then I manually overrode it and gave the student a different mark. Any questions about any of that so far? Okay, so we're going to talk about weighted total now because this is the big important one that you're going to need to format at some point between now and the end of your semester. I would recommend until you formatted it that you click the down arrow and you choose that hide from students so that they're not seeing information that is not correct or valid. And then when you're ready to format this is where you're going to tell Blackboard what to do with all of those grades that have been filtering through and how it's to figure out what their final grade is. So 40% is their first test, and their two assignments are worth 18%, and final exams out of 50, whatever. So you just click this down arrow, and I'm going to go to edit column information. So the name can stay the same. You can change it to final grade, whatever makes you happy, doesn't matter. I would recommend that you leave this one as a percentage because that's what makes the most sense for you and your students to see. And then when you scroll down, you'll notice in this area, because it's a calculated column, so it's going to do math for you, it says, all right, well, here we are. Here's all of the stuff that you have in your grade center on the left in this little area. And here's everything that it's using right now to calculate this final grade. So as you can see, because I haven't formatted it, it's not coming up with anything because there's nothing in here on the right. You can choose to calculate your final grade based on individual assessments, and you can percent weight those individual assessments. You can also choose to calculate your final grade based on categories. So instead of saying assignment one is 10%, assignment two is 10%, assignment three is 10%, you could choose the assignment category and say that whole category is to take those three assignments, average them out, and give that a weight of 30%. So it's up to you how you do it. I would strongly recommend that you pick one or the other. I'm a big fan of doing the columns individually. I find you have more control over that, but unfortunately in Ultra, they take that away from us. So it's up to you. But for today's example, we'll do it individually. So this trial test, if I want to include that in the final calculation, I just select it and I click this button in the middle to push it over to the right. So I'm going to continue to do that for any assessment that I have in here that I want to count for their final grade. This time I just held down the control key and selected all the ones I wanted. When I move them all over, they're all sitting here. It doesn't matter if I have columns in the left-hand side that I'm not going to use. Let's say you did a practice test for Respondus and you forgot to say, don't use it in the final grade calculation. It's going to show up here. And that's okay. It can show up here and it can just sit here on the left and do absolutely nothing for my final grade. That's not a problem. On the right-hand side, then, this total weight needs to equal 100%. So this is where you're going to have a look at your CSI or your course outline, and it tells you what everything should be weighted. So if this test is 25% of my overall grade, I put 25 in there. Okay. Whatever the weights are for these items, this is what I'm going to fill in this area. Oops. And that should be all indicated in your CSI. I'm not sure where I am in my math here, so let me do 5%. So that means this participation score, right now we're sitting at 85%. So if this is all of my columns and I'm done with my assessments, then this participation column must equal 15% in order for Gradebook to be happy about what you've got here because it has to equal 100. You can set up this weighted total column now, even if all of your assessments aren't fully integrated into the Blackboard yet. Okay, you would just not have this equal 100%. And then as you continue to create those assessments, you'd have to just come back into this area, manage your weighted total, move those columns over, and give it a percentage. If you try to get out with it not equaling 100, it's going to give you a little bit of a message, and it's when you hit submit, it says, hey, the sum of the weights is not 100%. Are you sure you want to continue? You would just say okay. Okay, so it's just warning you that you're missing something. I'm going to put that back to 15. And then once that's set up in Ultra, you have this option that says calculate as a running total, yes or no. So let me explain what this means for you. So if you leave it at no, what Blackboard does is it goes into the grade center and it says, all right, for anything where there is no submission, so maybe assignments and tests that we haven't yet done, I'm going to automatically assume a value of zero for all of those submissions. So anytime there's anything missing, it puts a value of zero in. What that does for your weighted total at this time of the game would say, let's say we're on week three. And we've all submitted one assessment. Even if I got 100% on that one assessment, my grade in the weighted total column will be really low because I got 100% on assignment one, but then Blackboard says, but then you've got 0% on all of these other things. And some teachers like to show it to the students that way. Most of the time they don't, but just so that you know how to explain to your students what they're seeing. Your other option is to put calculate as a running total to yes. And what that does is, instead of putting a value of zero in those assessments that haven't yet been submitted, it just ignores them. So if I've got 100% on my first assignment, but I haven't submitted anything else in, my current weighted total would be 100% because it's the only thing it has to run off of. So it just says, well, you've only got one thing in there. You got 100% on it. So that's what you got. Okay. Then what that means for you is later on in the course, if you have a student that didn't submit something, so they just didn't do the assessment, you can't just leave it blank. You'd actually have to go and put a value of zero there so that they're not getting a better grade than they should. Does that make sense? Perfect. Okay. We also have this option in Ultra. It's just worded really differently, but we'll show you that once you get your courses into Ultra. We'll have a look at that as well. So same thing for this column. Do you want to include it in grade center calculations? Kind of redundant. This is the calculation. You're going to leave that as yes. Do I want to show this column to students? Like I said, if it's the beginning of the year, you may want to say no until you get this column set up. But you can say yes here, or you can change it right in the grade center. When you're done, you're just going to hit submit. And now you'll see that it's starting to calculate a final weighted total for the students in my class. These weighted totals can't be overridden, like you got to override all of your other scores. Like you can't click on it and change that. Okay. This is just the math that it did. This is what your student got. Any questions about that? Anything that I'm missing? Because, oh, yeah.
Angela, can you just, so like I have some assignments that need to be graded,
Okay.
and one student didn't submit. Can you show me how I can just put a zero?
For sure. So if it was Trish that didn't submit this assignment number one, you just click on these two dashes and assign a
Oh,
zero and hit enter.
was easy. Okay.
It'll just show that you did it manually, but that's okay. And that's really important to do if you set that calculated to running total as yes. Because if you don't, then that student's going to do a lot better than they should. Okay. Any other questions about, like, this is kind of it for Grade Center
And
for
Angela,
Blackboard Original.
Courtney
Yeah.
put something in the chat. Courtney put,
Oh.
after a test or assignment is submitted, can you change what the test or assignment is out of? Or if
No.
you want to admit it, you could admit it. You could change your grading so that it's omitted from your grading, I guess.
Yeah, so in
Yeah.
original, so two things. In Blackboard Original, let's say you've given a test. You gave it to all of your students, all of the students answered all of the questions, and then you realize belatedly at the end of the test, once you started to get the submissions wrong, holy shit, everybody got question five wrong. You reread question five, you think it was really sort of like convoluted. It didn't make a lot of sense. I just want to get rid of it for my students. All you have to do, you wouldn't do it from the Grade Center area. You just go into your test and you just delete that question. Or revalue that question at zero, and it will automatically regrade all of your students' assessments. So that you can effectively take that out and it would automatically change everyone. You can't change what a test is out of if you don't actually go and change one of the questions itself. Like you can't just say, well, if this test is out of 50, I'm just going to decide to make it out of 48. That doesn't work. You can, however, create your questions as bonus questions, effectively then saying, even though there's a chance they could get 50 marks, the test is still out of 48 because one of those questions is a bonus question.
Okay, Angela, the second half of her question. Did that answer your question, Courtney?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, here the second half of Courtney's question was, are there best practices around deducting marks for late assignments?
So Jana might be your better one to answer how you want to handle that.
Okay, so Courtney, the Whatever's on your CSI is kind of your policy, and as each instructor and department, the department and instructor decides on the policies. So, for example, the nursing department is very set that late assignments are this much percent per day and a drop dead date at this time. Other departments are more, more flexible depending. So I would check with your department head and check with what they want theirs to be. If that answers your question. And as an instructor, each student is individual, each situation is individual. So you have the right to make some changes as well. And, if you contact me ahead of time and make arrangements, all of those things, making sure that you're accessible to them.
And then
And is
those.
there, thank you so much, Jen. Is there a way to record in the grade center that the student got a late mark because it was late, or be their mark is that way because it was late? So not exactly in the grade center, but if you go down to where am I going? To where you put individual student comments. So it's under evaluation, and you could pull up your individual student comments. You can put it in there for each individual student. It's kind of a record of what you con what messages and stuff and notes you want to keep on students.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay. So the other thing I really wanted to show you before I get too far and I forget, in this grade center area on the left, I went automatically to the full grade center because that shows me everything in here. And again, it's where I spend most of my time. But I have a lot of instructors that likes this needs grading link. And if I click on that, all it brings up are the students and the submissions that are sitting there waiting for me to grade. So it would have, if I had anything that was waiting for me, it would have a whole list of them. And then I could just start grading and go from one to the next really quickly as I go through. So there is that area as well. Just make sure that if you're there, you don't just mistake that for your full grade center. You still click on full grade center if you want to see everything. Any other questions? So I'm
Okay,
giving
there's
you
a
all of
lot.
this information. And then with,
Craig said he has one.
oh, sorry, Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, just when you use percentage in the as the calculation in the columns, is there a way to reduce the number of decimal points? Because it comes up like four decimal points all the time.
Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
unfortunately, you get what you get, and there is no way to sort of format that. And then when you're taking your grades from Blackboard Learn Original into Faculty Connect, it's just up to you to manually do that
Yeah.
decrease or increase based on the percent value. Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, thank you.
Okay. We don't have that issue in Ultra. And when your courses get switched over, and just in case anyone is not aware, this is the last semester. Well, that's not true. This summer is the last semester that you will be using Blackboard Original courses. So if you're teaching for us again in the summer, you may have original courses. If you want to have an Ultra course, you absolutely can. You just have to let me know so I can create the course in Ultra for you. But in September 2024, that's it. When you come to work and you go to teach, it will all be Ultra. So I'm giving you all of this information today in hopes that you remember it for the semester, and then in hopes that you forget it all when you start doing Ultra because it's totally different.
I do have one last question.
Sure.
So, and it's only in a situation where I have a student who has submitted an assignment late. And obviously, I'm not in the way I've been running most of my classes. I mean, late assignments, I won't grade, but they still submit them anyway, thinking I'm going to have a nice
Have a
day and then
moment where
go
you
ahead and
feel
do it.
bad for them.
Yes. But should I be hitting when I see it? Should I be doing clear attempt, or should I be doing ignore attempt when that comes in?
So you actually don't have to do either of those things. You could just go and give the student a value of zero, whether even if there's a. So let me just submit
Well,
this on
they've already
text.
had the value of zero, but then they've still submitted, and then it
Oh, they
shows
still
that
do
I've
it
got something
anyways.
waiting to be.
Yeah. So you could go and ignore the attempt.
Yeah, it
And
shows a needs grading until you do something with it, so I would ignore the attempt.
yeah.
just ignore. Okay. Because I think I heard you say the other day, if I hit clear attempt, that gives them another chance.
Yeah, so if you hit clear attempt and their assessment said that they get one attempt at it and that link is still available for them, that just gives them
Okay.
another opportunity to go and submit it again and then
Okay.
again and again every time you do that.
Okay. All right. Okay. No, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? I just really want to make sure that we're all really good with that weighted total column. I know that well, we're not going to follow in Terry's footsteps. Please don't anybody be using Excel or a calculator to calculate your final grade. So poor Terry, I'm going to throw him under the bus again. But once you get into Ultra, you're going to see, I mean, there's just it's just so much easier to do it this way. And once we get onto it, you'll see that it's easy, and you won't have any issues continuing to do it moving forward. We've never had an incident where the weighted total column is not correct. Unfortunately, we have had incidences where the weighted total column is not giving the correct value based on what the faculty put in there. And sometimes a lot of the confusion comes from copied content. So the faculty think, well, I'm not using that, and they didn't include it in the weighted total, but in fact, they didn't include the right one. So the grades weren't coming up proper. But I mean, all of those things are fixable. So I know that that wasn't an hour, but that's pretty much Gradebook and Blackboard Original in a nutshell. I am here, and I'll continue to stay here until about 20 after if anybody wants to stick around and ask questions. As always, if you have questions throughout the semester, just reach out, ask, don't struggle, and we can get you all organized and set up and ready to go. Does anyone have any questions about Blackboard in general, like in not even just the Gradebook, but seeing as we have extra time, is there anything you want to go over?
Angela, when you transfer my, like assuming I'm teaching it next semester, when this all gets transferred, I'm not going to lose any work that I did, right?
So by next semester, do you mean summer or do you mean fall?
I don't know yet. I haven't had those discussions yet, but just like assuming I'm the one that teaches it next time, and the next
Okay.
time would be in Ultra.
Okay, so there is a bit of a difference then when you are going from original to ultra. So let's just assume you get hired to teach this in September 2024. I am going to create for you a blank ultra shell. Once we move over to ultra, Angela is done copying content. That's up to the faculty member. Because you're going from ultra to ultra, super quick, two clicks, you're done, and no issues. And definitely, I'll show you that, and no problems. But when you're going from original to ultra, it's a little bit of a different game because you can't just copy an entire original course and plunk it into ultra. I mean, you can, it allows you to do that, but it's a terrible idea because there's a lot of formatting issues, there's differences, and it's going to give you tons of errors. So if you get hired in September to reteach this course, you're going to still have access to this Winter 24 course. You're going to have to go into your brand new Shiny Ultra course and copy your content over individually. The
That's
nice thing
fine.
about Ultra, though, it's so quick and it's so easy. And if nobody minds, I'll be happy to just give you a quick little view of what that looks like. So let's pretend this is my brand new Shiny Ultra course and there's like nothing in here. If I want to pull content from an original course, I click on the plus button and I choose copy content. And then it brings up every course that I am on as an instructor. So then you can either type it in or you can scroll to search for the course. If I go into that course, this is an original course right now, I would go into the course content and then drill down into each of these areas and pick, well, there's nothing in there, so that's not really great. But go ahead and pick the content that you want to move over. Hang on, let me try this one. So here's an assignment. So if I want this assignment and this assignment or test and this assignment, I just select them and I hit start copy. And then it just says copying content and you're done.
So, Jennifer, I don't know which course you teach, but every single course that the college has is going to have a master course. So, if you, and every dean has been asked to identify who's their master course developer. And they need to identify them pretty quick here because we need to make sure that every single master course is done by the end of June. And so, we've asked each dean to connect with who their who are on their faculty, who are their part-time faculty, who they want to be the master course developer for that particular course, so that we're all starting with the same stuff. But at the same time, you will have access, if you have added to the master course, you can pull your own stuff in as well. If you want to make sure that you're signed up to be the master course developer for your course, you need to talk to your dean or chair.
Okay, so for the one class information systems, basically the only thing that I was given were PowerPoint presentations that are terrible. Like,
Yeah.
maybe that's a little strong,
No,
but
it's
just
probably is
that's
totally
probably
correct.
terrible.
It's probably totally correct. Totally get that.
They're from the publisher, and I'm having to do everything.
So what I, because it sounds like you have developed the course, you are the master course developer or the master course holder. So I would talk to your dean and chair and make sure that you're put on the list to be the master course developer so that you can get the Ultra Shell the way you want it. And they make sure it is. And part-time faculty will be paid to do that as something extra. And full-time faculty, they'll put it in your SWIF.
And then also for part-time faculty, let's say you're not the master course owner, and you just get hired in September to teach a course. I will be doing a course copy for you from the master that has been created by whoever that person is supposed to be. And it's supposed to be current and updated, and it will have just happened. So that'll get put over into your course. But you still, Jennifer, would have access to that content in your original class. So if there was something in there that you wanted to pull in to make to customize your own course, you could absolutely still do that by the method I just showed you. But part-timers, if you're not the owner of the master course, then those courses that you, when you get them in September, someone will need to tell me, but I will still be transferring that content over from the Master Ultra into your course.
I have
Craig,
another
you.
Blackboard question.
Sure.
Right. You opened it up. So now you're in trouble. Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh.
And I know this is going to be temporary because we're switching over, but when I've been looking at previous courses and I'm trying to, is there a way for me to take an old test at a course I previously taught and just copy it over to the new?
Yeah.
Well, how do I
Like
do that?
into Ultra or into an original course?
No, it would be original. And obviously when we get to Ultra, then I'd have to learn that too. But I don't know how to do that. And boy, it'd be certainly helpful if I could figure that out.
Perfect. And this is super simple. It's like a three-step process. So what you're going to
Okay.
do, you're going to go into the Blackboard course that has the test that you want to put in a different course. So if it's this course for me, underneath the course management menu area, I'm going to go down to course tools. And then test surveys and pools. Once I get here, I select tests, and this lists every test that lives in this course that I've created, whether or not it's deployed for my students. So if it's this test that I want to share into a different course, I click the down arrow beside it and I choose export. This is going to put a zipped file in my downloads folder called test.zip. I don't have to open that or anything, I'm just going to let it live there. Then I'm going to close the course that has the test, and I'm going to go into a Blackboard original course where I want to put it. I go to that same area, course tools, test surveys and pools, tests, and I click import test. Then I'm going to browse my local files and let me know if I'm going too fast because I don't want to
No,
lose
you're fine.
you. Okay, I go to my downloads folder, and there's that test that I just exported, and I click open.
Could have taken this class months ago.
Yeah. Okay, so then now what I've done, this test now, it's not deployed for my students, so it says my import is complete. It lives in this area, which I didn't pick a very good example because there's three pages of tests. But here it is here. It tells me that it's not deployed. So it's now in my course, but now the onus is on me to go up into this area wherever I want this test to live for my students. So if it's in the assignments folder or the course content folder, I'll just stick it in assignments for now. I would go to assessments and tests just like I'm creating one, and then I pull it from this list. This list is all of the tests that live in my course that have not been deployed for my students. So here it is here. I just highlight it and hit submit. And then I can set my test parameters, the date that it shows, if it's available, if there's a timer, all that good stuff. And then it'll be ready for my students.
Perfect. That answers everything. So, and it's
Perfect.
funny too, because sometimes I'll see, like when I was looking at trying to do something, it's funny with some courses how I'll get the ability to move or copy, but lately it just seems like everything just says move and there's no copy when I try and
So,
transfer content.
yeah, and if it's content, then it depends on whether or not it's an assessment or not. Assessments in original, you can't move or copy, so that option's not available to you. Some stuff you can only
But
move.
if I use move though, Angela, is that going to pull it away from the current course and then put it in the new one, or will it just be a copy in the new course?
If you move it, then it's
Yeah.
gone from this one and it's put into the other one.
Yeah, okay, that's what I
If
thought.
you
Okay.
copy it, then it's in two different places. But
right.
you can only
I used to see copy more often. I don't see that anymore. It's mostly just move now, and I don't know why.
Yeah, and if as soon as it's like with folders, for example, you can't do that kind of stuff because you can choose copy or move a folder, but it's not going to, this copy only lets you put it in this course. Like it doesn't let you stick it anywhere else. You get this course and that's it. Okay, but once you're in Ultra, it doesn't matter if it's an item or a document or an assessment or a test or an assignment, whatever. You can move, you can copy, you can drag and drop, you can do all sorts of things, and it doesn't care. It's way more user friendly. But for now, you're
Okay.
stuck. Yeah.
No, thank you. That's great. Super.
Perfect. Any other questions, guys? Okay. So if not, I will leave it at that. Like I said, if you need me, reach out, give me a call, send me an email, doesn't matter. I do still work one night in the evening. So if during the day, especially if you're part-time, if during the day is not feasible for you can always reach out in the evenings. We can set up a time, we could do a Zoom link, whatever, to go over specifically your course and get everything organized.
And a reminder that we are doing an Ultra training session for a gradebook right now coming up, but a whole Ultra, how to convert your class to Ultra during reading week. We'll do
Yeah,
an afternoon session
February.
and an afternoon session and a evening session because Angela loves to stay up late at night.
Yeah, she's not much of a night owl, but that's okay. We'll get through it. But we'll have both of those sessions in that. I think it's the last week of February, Jana. And then again, those will be recorded and posted on the lead site. So if you're unable to attend for some reason, you can watch them there. We're also going to do all of that over again in the summer, in probably August, and very likely in May or somewhere, just so that you are like overly super ready for the transition to Ultra come September. If you want to play around in Ultra now and you don't have a course yet and you're not really, you can ask me to create you a sandbox course, and I'll create you just an empty shell that you can go in and play around in and get comfortable in so that when it comes time for you to transfer your stuff over into Ultra, it's not shiny brand new for you. So, if you want that, just send me an email and I'll create that for you. Okay. So, if there's nothing else, I'm going to stop recording. Well, I'm going to stop sharing first. And then, yeah, I guess thank you everyone for attending. I might see some of you in the next session at 1:30, and if not, I'll talk to you this semester. Have a good time, guys.